Well, yes, we're here. We're here and ready to welcome the citizen lobbyist.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. You look as if you've had a nice walk across the freshening air out there of a somewhat gray morning. And we know that we have another meeting tonight, and of course we had the one last night, and we also had two other meetings, interestingly enough. Both the City Council met, and over in Wasilla, which I talked about earlier this morning, the Planning Commission, Wasilla Planning Commission met to talk about their continuing issue about the aesthetic quality of the corridor along the Parks Highway.
I did get to take a little look at that in the Frontiersman article this morning. It doesn't look like they've totally decided on anything. It's interesting that the City of Wasilla is giving such deep thought to their viewscape and how these power lines are going to affect what people see as they go through their city. I know that's come up several times now at the assembly meeting. I know Mr. Arvin brought that up in reference to something they were taking up not long ago and said that he didn't give a lot of merit to that sort of thing. That, you know, I think they were talking about building height with their multifamily code, and that, you know, the view wasn't something you were insured that development happens. If somebody owns the piece of property next to you, then that's what happens. And so it's interesting. It'd be interesting to see how he would weigh in on how this, even though this is a City of Wasilla issue, how he feels their position that they've taken against MEA going would really affect.
Is it possible that what we're witnessing here is a kind of interesting difference? If you are at a distance, literally and figuratively, from the particular potentially offending intrusion into your viewscape, that you had take one view, but if you open your blinds and look out and you see something, you have a very different view. And even from the standpoint of the borough, which is looking on at this from the inside of a meeting room, you have one attitude, but the City of Wasilla, City of Palmer, and people who are living in a particular place live with the results of decisions made. And I suspect that conceptually you might have some agreement amongst people that, yeah, you can pretty much have some free rein. The real problem comes when that free rein intrudes upon someone's life. And we've seen that over and over again.
Right. And you see this outside, too. As areas develop, there become these huge land conflicts, you know, where once was a small little group of houses now becomes the best place to put a big development. So ongoing land concepts or conflicts is not really anything new to any other parts of the country. I think we're just struggling with that as we grow. And, you know, it's pretty clear, and this, again, is all over the country, too, that people show up when they're affected. I think you alluded to earlier that they had the meeting on the monofill that wants to go in, and the old granite site in South Palmer that has gotten some discussion will be in front of the Planning Commission in June, will be introduced this Monday. And it was interesting. I went to one of those meetings on Monday, and it was very interesting to see them present their business plan, so to speak, for this area. But more interesting was to hear from the neighbors who have had this piece of property for some 30 years next to them that they've struggled with on a couple of different issues of what might have gone there. And, you know, they're just kind of getting tired of it. But it's also interesting to see that a lot of the faces I saw there don't want to be annexed, don't want the protection of the city. A lot of them voted for Joe Miller, who was obviously, or at least they supported him, or openly did, so supported this no regulation, no government. So I think we're seeing that in action right now. You're fine until the next door neighbor decides to put a tower up. You're fine until the next door neighbor decides they want to put a junkyard in. And then you look to those regulations that aren't there. So I think you might see a little more driving force for annexation a little bit more for the cities who seem to have a little better hold on regulation and the merits of that. And you might just see some new faces coming forth to say, hey, we need a few good rules.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and of course, that's been the long discussion. It's a messy process if you're looking to develop a few good rules and adapt them and change them, evolve them as different circumstances occur. Just because you have a rule in place doesn't mean it's a forever rule. I think the sense of, well, we'll just get rid of all rules is probably an overreach. I think I can safely say that, given the experience that people have coming back and saying, well, you've thrown everything out. No, that doesn't work either. So where in this middle ground, which is so messy, can we play and make these things happen?
Right. And at a time when we're really drilling down to how expensive government is and how much we want to spend for government, that process of throwing out the, so to speak, the bathwater with the baby is an expensive process. And instead of,
Well, they both get thrown out.
The end result is there. But, you know, we have to start somewhere, and since compromise is such a struggle right now, and it's one side or the other, and it's that polarization, that's really where the cost is. But it's not easily tracked. I think it's easy to point out what the cost of regulation might be in some minds and what the cost of no regulation is, but to find that process cost is really hard. The borough went through an enormous subdivision rewrite this year, and now we're seeing roads again wash out, these undeveloped roads, these unimproved roads, these subdivisions that weren't planned out very well by the 80s having some struggles, but we're back there again. So you don't always see the effects of what you do for a while, and then the finger pointing starts and the money starts having to come back to fix what we thought was a good idea because it was sort of the, you know, business first, and now we're going to pay for the results.
Well, I'm wondering, here's a question I'm going to throw out to you as we start looking at, say, Tuesday's borough special meeting on the budget. Did you, as you looked at that meeting, and I had the pleasure of being there for all 3 hours as well, sense that perhaps reality was intruding, and as people were beginning to make some decisions about different parts of the budget, there was a return to in a mix of still cutting and funding of recognition that there needs to be government funding of areas that are of importance to the population. Did any sense about, you know, I'm underlining the reality thing, that you can play for a while with all the concepts about we'll just cut, but eventually there are a number of things that emerge that need to be funded. And I was just wondering whether you saw anything moving in that direction of saying, yeah, we have to fund some important things.
Well, last year when they really started down this trail of using their reserves and funding from what was in savings, Mr. Culver poignantly put at the end of one of the meetings, last year's budget, the day of reckoning is coming. But I don't think that day is actually here. I think there is a part of this assembly, the majority part of the assembly, that really feels like we can keep spending all our reserves that we have. I think there was a struggle, I pointed this out in the blog, over retirement savings and what needs to be there. And they've had a process, this assembly has had a process for the last 3 years of bringing in sort of another set of eyes to counsel the assembly on what they might do, sort of a financial guru. And that process, talk about messy, was really messy this year. While the intent might be there to make it a balanced way, some objective way of looking at what funds are there and what funds should be spent, it turned out to be a pretty partisan way. And really, at the end of the day, it's about projects, and it's about sort of building empires, as I allude to in the blog, of certain pet things that are just going to get done. And at this point, with a mayor who's very clearly said going into this budget cycle, he has no appetite to raise the mill rate, even though the needs of the borough continue, that they have to do it within this framework that they've set up. And there's still those at the table that believe there's enough money there to do all of the things they want, Hatcher Pass, new library in Talkeetna, you know, fund education, all these big, big money portions, there's enough if we just take it from this place and this place and this place. And this majority really has pointed to the fact that there's not a lot of love for having a lot of employees or having a benefit for those employees, that that's a good place to cut. So I'm just not sure I agree that they're beginning to see there's not enough to do what they want. Now, their list of wants are long. They've only really attacked just, you know, a handful of amendments. Some big ones. Mr. Arvin did get the funding, the 3% funding for schools passed. Mr. Keough already had that on the table. He just wrapped it in a new piece of paper and was able to get it through because he sits on the majority portion of that. But that could be readdressed. We're not done until we're done with this project. They can reopen those amendments. So three meetings, not a lot of ground covered. Tonight will be another meeting. They'll have a lot of ground to cover if they expect to wrap it up. There seemingly is a lot of meetings outside of the meeting. So perhaps there is a plan for tonight that will just make it go through. But then we have the mayor's vetoes, and that could change everything too. So, you know, there's a lot of sacred cows out there. And how many of them get in the corral, we'll see. What I'm wondering if they're really giving much credence to is how much less they may get from the state next year. They have an enormous amount of huge projects started, the rail, the port, this new town site that the mayor wants in Point McKenzie. And then you have all these ongoing problems, unimproved roads, maintenance on new roads, other, you know, infrastructure needs that continue on. And the state is already said it's going to be less. We aren't going to have as much community revenue sharing. They even got less this year than they got last year. They didn't get that bonus round at the end of the legislative budget. So, you know, the day of reckoning may not be this year, but it could be next year.
So one of the things that I noticed on that meeting on Tuesday was what appeared to be a little bit of confusion at the start. There was some expectation that the consultant, Mr. Wilson, would be there live.
That was the promise, reason they delayed the
last
meeting.
And it seemed that at least one or more assembly people were surprised that he wasn't there.
Mr. Halter said he was irritated. He had driven down from Willow, and he expected the guy to be there to answer the questions.
Right. And so they finally, noticed a number of people went off, made some phone calls, and then he was brought in on the phone line, and some questions were asked. It was my impression that not having a person there resulted in a kind of a tailing off of answers. There were some, I thought, fairly direct questions that were asked of him, and they seemed to bounce back to a 30,000-foot or 2,000-mile view, and when it got down to the specifics, there was an obvious lack of specifics, and as people wanted to go, and in this case it was Mr. Keough, who asked, can we go point by point here? And surprisingly, people, at least from what I saw, were resistant to that, as if that had been worked out. But as later revealed, when pushed, Mr. Arvin did identify the we who had been working with the consultant as three members of the assembly, then the results of their work, and this was Mr. Culligan, Mr. Culver, and Mr. Arvin, that was then presented to the full assembly. I'm not sure I followed an official process that said, for example, the mayor designating the three of them to do that, or certainly I don't know that it was transparent that this was what was happening. And it was curious that if they had been working with him, presumably they would know whether he would be there on Tuesday or not. And there's also the little question, and I suppose it could be answered pretty quickly, but did the three of them meet together with him? Is this a kind of a way to avoid the public process of working?
Right. Well, credit where credit's due. The mayor actually made Mr. Arvin. He readdressed that question that Mr. Keough had asked Mr. Arvin about who has met with this gentleman. To wind it back a little bit, this came from a RFP that the assembly asked the borough to put out for a financial consultant, a financial analyst. First came a motion by a resolution from Mr. Culver, who wanted them to do this, brought the action to the table, but his was a little different than it ended up. He wanted from the beginning just Mr. Culver, Mr. Culligan, Mr. Arvin to be in with the manager to select whoever this financial analyst was.
Okay.
And he got pushback. He got pushback from his other assembly members that said, well, wait a minute here. Let's just put the RFP out. Let's all have some input on it, and then the manager can decide from our input who you should hire. We don't like this, you know, pulling out a couple little team members to decide who the finance guy is going to be. So they put off the RFP. This also, I put in the blog, it was March 5th that came back on the 18th. There were two people that applied. Mr. Wilson applied, and who had done the same work for them year before last. So he's not totally unfamiliar with the budget and the way that the budget works. They selected him, and what's been going on between March 18th or the beginning of April, I think, is when he became available. He has a full-time job. He lives in Oklahoma, works for the same woman, Elizabeth Gray, who used to be the assistant borough manager here, who had hired him the first time around, was, as I said, not unfamiliar. But how that all has been going on, I'm sure they're working within the limits that they can under the Open Meetings Act in meeting together with him. But you know, I'm told from at least a couple of assembly members, they haven't talked to him at all. And what seems even odder to me is that he hasn't talked to anybody in finance. And the list of his suggestions on where to cut wasn't available to them until the meeting. And that seems very odd to me that that discussion is not taking place. The big object of concern at the very beginning was the retirement funds that are in reserve for, you know, the borough participates in the state retirement program. And the reporting on this, particularly for Tier 4, which is an investment way that the state handles retirement, is very messy. And they don't actually know what that amount is going to be until the state reports to them and tells them, this is what you owe on this tier of your employees. So there's always an amount of money in there. And the fact that he didn't seem that they were ready to make this $425,000 cut at his suggestion, then he didn't have a full understanding of why that money was there when he was finally, it was brought to the attention by the borough financial officer why this money was there, is just kind of stymies me that he doesn't know the workings of their retirement program. But the fact that there hasn't been this interaction, this question and answer about the budget that is proposed budget brought together by the manager from the department heads and why things are and these little cuts that are being made on printing and administration without any dialogue between department heads or any dialogue with the finance manager just seems very, very odd to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving on to maybe some of the specifics you mentioned, and starting maybe with the biggest one, I still think that the 3% for that's right now in the budget approved is a 3% additional amount that would go to this school district, plus the second big one, in my opinion, the $150,000 that will provide some matching grant monies for a number of social programs. These two flowed from, as Mr. Arvin pointed out, a promise he had made when he threw out the idea of a tobacco tax, and that was successful.
Right.
So at least at this point, some of the big ones are moving along fairly well.
Right, and there were two other items in that little package he put together, that amendment. One was $75,000 for youth court, Wasilla Youth Court. There was a little bit of conversation at the table about that, whether they had asked for $50,000 or $75,000. There apparently was a letter they all received from Colleen Sullivan, who is a second in command of the council, and had asked for $50,000. But at the end of the day, Mr. Culligan, who represents that area, said, no, it's $75,000. So that was put in there. And then $200,000 for Wasilla Planning, which on the surface kind of would make you look up. But it's a way around the distribution of money to fund their SART program, their sexual alert response team program. And apparently they have to put it under the umbrella of this to get that across. So those were all packaged in there. What I thought was sort of interesting is Mr. Halter being the lone vote against the school district increase in budget. He felt that his record had been very strong on support of schools. You know, records don't pay the bills the next year. He was the only one that voted against the increase for the school district. It seemed like an odd choice for him, send a sort of a message out there where he sits on it right now, on education, I suppose, it could be said. But he has bigger fish to fry, too. Mm-hmm. And that's all what all this is going to be about as we go through, is no to this project so we can say yes to this other project.
Okay. Well, what are some of those other projects that are coming up? You've mentioned that although progress has been made Tuesday, we have, especially tonight, a series of other things going to be addressed. What do you see as being prominent among those discussion items?
Well, there's a list of Mr. Arvin, I think, said this at the very beginning, that the reductions that he was going to make were only going to affect three departments, administration, finance department, the attorney, and
IT.
The clerk, and I didn't go to IT yesterday. It went to some of their IT projects, but
right,
hasn't really gone to IT. I'm not sure the clerk's office was in there, too. It could have been skated in there. But they still have some big ones to take. Oh, planning. They made some cuts,
sure,
to planning. That was the other one that they made some cuts for. And now they still have to take some big ones up. Like you said, IT and the public works, and there's the rest of the departments, economic development. How they will balance all those things will be the top of the discussion tonight. And then, of course, they can go back and revisit everything that they've put in there. We got a few hints. Mr. Culligan did say, I think rightfully so, that he would like to see funding for software for their accounting system to bring it up to this century. He's the techie guy on the Assembly. He's really been very clear about his desire or his priority to bring them up into from the 80s up to this time zone on the way that where they should be technically. I think he's right, spot on that. But some of what he introduced last year hasn't quite got done yet, so he could see some pushback from that. He wanted to make sure that the borough was accepting credit cards all across the borough. They're sort of on the cusp to that, but they haven't had it. It's not done yet. So he might get a little pushback on this, what he alluded to, an amendment he plans to bring forward at about $400,000 to make that happen. He may get a little pushback on that. Mr. Halter, I spoke about this earlier, is really looking for funding for his Talkeetna library. It's $1.4 million. Again, he'll probably be willing to do some horse trading to make that happen. Mr. Culver made it very clear they hadn't talked about Hatcher Pass yet. He was able to get quite a bit of money in last year's budget for Hatcher Pass. He'll be back looking for money for that. Unclear what Mr. Wood's priorities are. He didn't say very much at all. Mr. Salmon is all about the port. I suspect he will be giving, he's a realtor, I would suspect he'll be giving a lot of support to economic development. And the mayor's Point McKenzie town site that he wants to get up and going. And you'll see, again, as Mr. Colligan pointed out, the chairs on the Titanic moving around as they decide to take money away from planning for this, but put money back in planning for that. So it should be a pretty robust conversation tonight. Whether they'll get done or not is really, really unclear.
Now, what I noticed was that Mr. Moosey, the borough manager, was carefully stating, and he did this a number of times, that he will do what they direct. Mm-hmm. They needed to understand, and partly it was his job to point out that if you took from this place, a certain thing would not happen. And the ripples from removing some money were not immediately obvious. I think when they went through the items that had been proposed on Tuesday for cutting, became obvious that as both the finance director and the manager walked through it, they would say, okay, you understand, this is what we're using the money for. So you can choose not to do that. And in some cases, it involved, for example, furnishings and so on for the addition to the borough building.
Right.
And so when you did this, there were no funds that were going to be available for that. Or there were projects that were ongoing and the monies were in process of being spent from it. So that a budget as large as the borough's is not something that is so cut and dried that when you snap a picture of it, you immediately see. And you look at something and say, well, nothing has been spent from it here, but you say, well, actually, we're on our way to incurring those expenses, and very soon you'll see that picture change when the bills come due. So that I think that's what I came away with, was a sense of the interrelationship of all of these dollar items. In fact, you could take the big ones. The ones that we talked about, the 3%, the $150,000, this for that. And that's actually pretty easy because you can look at that and you can make that decision. But all the other pieces, especially when you're searching for additional monies to make available to pay for the further projects, whether it's Hatcher Pass or the library, et cetera, that's when it gets to be interesting. And I noticed, at least Tuesday, there wasn't a lot of discussion about the reserves.
Right, right. And, you know, I think the big question is, I think you pointed it out really good, Mike, is that about the fact that having someone who knows how all those things overlap is really, really important. And that's what's a little discouraging about this process that they've picked out to use somebody from out of state who hasn't really had any substantial conversations with either the manager or the finance department on why all these different accounts are out there. You know, I think it's pretty clear that the borough is way behind in any type of good accounting tracking software. This has been a very, very big subject for Mr. Colligan and also Mr. Culver, who said we need to start chasing these jobs down and seeing work orders and seeing how much time and money we're spending on these things. I think he might be a little surprised how that works out on his projects. But, you know, there is a need for that. They basically are working off an Excel spreadsheet, which is, you know, kind of the old-time accounting. But humorously, a little bit to me, while they're back in those dark ages, the recommendations that their budget analysts that they hired made to them were chicken scratches kind of on a spreadsheet. There wasn't any fancy report. There was not any type of we've become very familiar with how reports can look from finances from the school district and how sophisticated they've become by showing you all the what-ifs, all the scenarios of what happens, how this has affected the history of it. I mean, they've just done such a great job at that. That's kind of what we're looking used to looking for in financials. We're way not there with the borough.
Sure.
And for someone to come and oversee them and not have that expertise either or approach it from that level is, you know, pretty disheartening, really, especially, at the cost.
So that's all there. And of course, we've mentioned what's happening over in Wasilla, and the Wasilla Planning Group apparently is the one that's faced with some of the more important decisions, although the city of Wasilla is also involved in a budget process because their budget year is the same as the borough's. And they're
right. Have they decided that about their increase in sales tax? Or
you know, I did not see anything about that, so I'm suspecting that that's about to happen. And then the city of Palmer, of course, has been involved in a whole bunch of other things. They had a meeting that granted the city manager an increase somewhere in 2+%. Voting, I think, was 6-1, with everyone but the mayor voting in favor of that. And then a lengthy meeting that revolved around zoning issues and other kinds of things. But we don't really have time to get into detail with that. Any comments about anything else that we should look forward to tonight as that next meeting begins at 6 p.m. at the school district headquarters building?
Well, I think it'll be a very, as I said, a robust conversation with lots of moving targets, whether Mr. Wilson will be there or not. You know, you spoke earlier after he did get on the phone. There wasn't really a lot of question and answers and any interaction by staff with him or the assembly, and whether they'll step that up or not. It's hard to say. I expect the meeting will go. It went, you know, to almost 9 o'clock on Tuesday. I suspect we'll go at least till 9 o'clock, unless there's a lot of conversations being held by the majority members right now, and they've got it all planned out, and you either have the votes or you don't have the votes to move forward. I don't see them having a lot of appetite to have three meetings next week, which they would have as a result of not finishing tonight. They will meet next Tuesday for their regular meeting.
Right.
Then they will have Wednesday and Thursday. They've blocked off to, again, deliberate on the budget. I think they don't want to do that if they don't have to. So, you know, we'll just have to see. It's been a surprise every time we've sat down for these budget hearings.
That's exciting. Not entirely predictable, not life as it goes on year after year. A little bit of difference here.
And as I talked about a little bit earlier, there's going to be a very interesting planning meeting at the school district. They, too, are meeting at the school district on Monday, the borough planning meeting. They're going to have a big thing on their agenda concerning a gravel pit up in the Buffalo Mine area. They had substantial public audience participation on this subject and last week, and they we'll see if that comes up again on their agenda. They also will be introducing this, and we should probably talk about it a little bit, this little monofill project, or a big monofill project in South Palmer, 40 acres in the old gravel granite site. I expect you're going to hear a lot of testimony on that, too. So that could be a very, very active meeting as the Planning Commission really for the first time takes on some pretty hard subjects.
Right, and with large crowds.
And with large crowds, right. And I suspect they're getting some emails right now. But these are big issues, and they affect communities.
Right.
And we have an election next fall, and that affects communities.
Right. All of that is true.
And all that's true, so.
Well, okay. I think, is there anything else we need to touch upon?
Unless you want to talk about next Tuesday's meeting and what the agenda...
Let's just give it a go quickly.
Let's see what's here. Well, of course, they also have on here, always on the agenda, is the Merrill veto. So they could be taking up vetoes for what they do today, depending on the mayor, what the mayor has to say. I think he can make it during those times. There's, again, a lot of what we call LIDs, limited improvement districts, for gas. They're going to take up a reappropriation of $200,000 to do some more upgrades to the Academy Charter School.
Mm-hmm.
That will be an ordinance they'll be looking at. Academy Charter School, of course, has been the recipient of a lot of...
So where does that money come from?
Well, this says it's a reappropriation of their end-of-the-year funds, which normally are split and gone back. The rest of the school district, pull their budget into the year budget together. By code at this point, 50% stays to the school district and 50% goes back to the borough. So they have to have a special ordinance to be able to use their end-of-the-year funds because the rest of the district will be giving 50% of theirs back to the borough. So this is apparently to complete construction on a hallway, finish a stairway, some walls, flooring, install display cases, and install a science lab fume hood at the school. They'll take up some land reclassification. There was one thing in here I thought was pretty interesting.
So this is, and just
here's one that I think is really going to be interesting. Okay. An ordinance repealing regarding public notice within a one-mile radius for sales, leases, exchange of real property and natural resources. So I haven't read the IM on that. I'm not sure who brought it forward. That could affect people a lot. That's the notification they get what's going to happen in their neighborhoods. So there's a lot of things on the consent agenda. So, you know, it's a pretty robust thing on its own. They are introducing an amendment. I think Mr. Culver's doing this to amend how they do the Board of Adjustment and Appeals. I don't know what that has in it, but that will be introduced. So it's a 10-page packet. Let's see how many we've got.
And that's the regular meeting on
Tuesday.
Pick up all the other stuff that they're doing.
And it is, there's normal business going on here. This will be taken up Tuesday, and that packet was available online last night, so you can go and read. I don't know how many pages it is. We'll bet you over 500. But
no.
The agenda is 10 pages.
Okay, well, we'll be there streaming that regular meeting. We hope to be there streaming the meeting tonight as well. Well, thank you, citizen lobbyists, for coming in. We're going to hit the bottom of the hour and go on with the rest of the day. It still looks gray, but it's not raining.
Yeah, that's a good plus.
Okay.
Not snowing.
All right. See you next week.